Tested live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Since last week Wednesday, you'd be well aware that we've been providing you full coverage, a spectrum of which does take a look at the influence, the impact of the US tariffs by Donald Trump and what they mean for the various economic sectors of South Africa's economy. We've spoken about agriculture, which we'll continue to review today. We've spoken about the metals and mining industry, the automotive sector, and of course, just a general understanding of how it also impacts our standing with AGOA. Tonight, we thought we'd take a step back and remember that South Africa doesn't operate in isolation. We're part of a region, SADC. We're part of a continent, Africa. And it's important to also understand how it is that our peers across the continent are impacted, influenced, and even have been responding to their version of the influence of Donald Trump's tariffs. Tonight, we thought we'd pop right next door in Zimbabwe and take a look at the response that we see from the Zimbabwean government. I must tell you, there's a tweet that's been shared here by the president of Zimbabwe, Emmerson Mnangagwa, and it doesn't read. I'll give you just an overview of what he essentially highlights. And the president essentially tweets that the principle of reciprocal tariffs as a tool for safeguarding domestic employment and industrial sectors holds merit. And as a result, the Republic of Zimbabwe maintains a policy of fostering amicable relations with all nations. As such, they have actually decided in Zimbabwe that they will redirect Zimbabwean governments to implement a suspension to all tariffs levied on goods originating from the United States. Now, this is largely meant to facilitate the expansion of American imports within the Zimbabwean market. In other words, Zimbabwe is saying, okay, we see you, Donald Trump. We'll actually just make this easier for you to get your products into our country. What's the consequence? What's motivating this decision? And how will it likely play out in terms of the economic impact? Dr. Prosper Chitambara joins us now, independent economist, to give us some insight into this theme. Prof, such a pleasure to speak to you, Professor Chitambara. It's such a delight to have your presence with us on the show once again. Last year, we spoke about the Zimbabwe Zig, and here we are talking about tariffs. Good evening.
Yes, thank you so much for having me. Good evening.
Fantastic. I guess first things first, let's just start with your immediate response as an economist to not only the tariffs that Trump has imposed, but the response of the Zimbabwean government to concede and, I guess, comply.
Well, I think the response by the Zimbabwean government is quite a very interesting response, but I think it's quite strategic, in my view, for a number of reasons, both economic reasons, but also even for political reasons. I'm viewing it from the broader re-engagement process that the government has embarked upon in terms of re-engaging, especially the Western communities, with the Western community. As you know, Zimbabwe was slapped with targeted sanctions, and we've been under sanctions. Most of the sanctions, of course, have been removed, but we have not yet fully re-engaged with the West. So I think this is part of that process of re-engagement, strengthening ties with the U.S. government, and which I think is very, very key. But it's also, I think, sending a good message in the sense that we're actually saying that nations are better off trading with each other, cooperating with each other, rather than erecting barriers to trade. I think the world is better off when nations are trading with each other with very minimal or with very low tariffs or even non-tariff barriers. I think it's good for global consumer welfare. It's good even for global macroeconomic stability. Mm-hmm. Of course, the mantra of the president of Zimbabwe is that Zimbabwe is open for business. So Zimbabwe is open for trade with everyone, including with the U.S. government. Now, when you look at what we are also importing from the U.S., I think this move is also strategic in the sense that it's going to facilitate, I think, even the retooling of industry in terms of the capital, probably equipment that we're going to be importing from the U.S. It means it's going to be cheaper now to be importing capital equipment to retool industry. So I'm just viewing it a bit favorably, probably than other scholars or other observers are viewing that move. I think it's quite strategic, and ultimately I think Zimbabwe is going to benefit immensely from even increased investments from U.S. companies, from the U.S. government, but also political spin-offs or positive externalities from the political front in that probably political relations are going to improve. I think it's a huge confidence boosting or enhancing measure by the Zimbabwean government, very bold indeed.
Got you. And I think this also speaks to the trade elasticity, right, of the economy of Zimbabwe. The responsiveness, just how quickly the quantities would shift in terms of prices, tariffs and goods that would come in and out of the market. And maybe just explain that concept to us. It might sound like a technical one, but help us characterize and underscore what it means and why it's such an important metric for us to be mindful of that is influencing the decision in this particular negotiation.
I think it's you have to look at where we're actually coming from as a nation. Of course, trade is a key part of development, not just in Zimbabwe, but in any country. And also, currently, I would say our trade relations with the U.S. They're not very, very strong. For example, when you look at what we are exporting to the American economy as a percentage of our total exports, it's just under about 1.3% of total exports. So then it's also about just about 0.5% of our gross domestic product. So I think there's room for us to improve those numbers, definitely. Of course, it may be difficult now with the 18% tariffs that have been imposed on Zimbabwe, but I think the idea also behind what Zimbabwe has done is probably also to try to influence maybe the Trump administration to maybe lower the 18% tariff imposed on Zimbabwe. Then also even in terms of what we're exporting from the U.S., I foresee a significant boost because we are largely importing plant and machineries, capital equipment, whilst we are exporting largely agro-based commodities. So,
yes.
So I foresee a huge boost in terms of trade between Zimbabwe and the American government. And obviously that's going to be very beneficial in terms of our reindustrialization efforts, but also in terms of enhancing consumer welfare and well-being in Zimbabwe.
Now, let's not forget that Zimbabwe does have a competitive edge in terms of some of the natural resources, lithium, tobacco, and many others, right?
Yeah.
That typically need to be exported. Maybe underscore that for us, just as how that remains part of the competitive advantage. But I'm also hoping that you'll add, the revenue that might be lost from the tariffs. How else would the government look to recover and recoup some of those
losses? Well, I think in terms of the revenue, I don't think it's going to be very significant loss of revenue. Yes, there is an opportunity cost in terms of loss of revenue, but I think the benefits could actually, in the long run, probably outweigh the short-term costs in terms of and potential revenue losses. But also in terms of our natural resource endowments, I think it's also an opportunity for Zimbabwe to continue to improve the doing business environment in general as a way also of locking in American investments in those critical commodities with the view of value addition, with the view of industrialization. So I think the way we're going to handle this whole thing, I think we have to be very strategic so at least we also benefit from enhanced investments, especially in minerals. Zimbabwe has endowed its so many minerals, and we have not yet fully benefited, in my view, from that mineral endowment. And once we start to see more processing plants being established by investors in Zimbabwe, I think that's going to make a difference in terms of strengthening our economy, but also in terms of employment creation for Zimbabweans.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about the economy of Zimbabwe if we can. I have been following up with a few friends of mine who come from Bulawayo, Harare, even friends from Kadoma, who have been telling me that the ZIG isn't necessarily used as often and as popularly as what the government would want. And maybe if we can just sidestep, just to get an update on the use of the Zimbabwe gold as a currency. Is it considered? Is it used for transactions? Or is there still a preference for the US dollar?
there's still a preference for the US dollar. I would say, to all intents and purposes, our economy is dollarized. Mm-hmm. And of course, that has not been helped by the fact that government, the central bank, and the Minister of Finance have tightened both the fiscal policy and the monetary policy, respectively. So the liquidity, the ZIG liquidity, or Zimbabwe gold liquidity, is very low. So the ZIGs are in short supply. So some observers have argued that probably that has also promoted the further dollarization of our economy. But of course, government is mindful of the need to stabilize things, because by limiting liquidity, you are also limiting aggregate demand, and you are also moderating inflationary pressures. So we have been experiencing some measure of stability in terms of prices, is a measure of stability even in terms of the exchange rate, on account of the very tight monetary and fiscal policy stance that the central bank and the Minister of Finance have actually adopted. But of course, that is encouraged the entrenchment of the US dollar. But my view is that if you are able to sustain low and stable inflation, say for the next 6 or even 9 months or 12 months from now, I think that will probably create the right, or that will begin to see restoration of greater levels of confidence in the ZIG. Was the biggest problem that has affected trust and confidence in the local currency has been the high inflation. And at some point in time, we've also suffered from hyperinflation. So that is eroded confidence in the local currency, but it was also eroded confidence even in institutions managing that currency, in particular the central bank. So, we're in a bit of a tight situation, but we just need to continue to stay the course in terms of fiscal and monetary policy consolidation. Yeah, I think I think with time we'll see probably a gradual de-dollarization process taking root.
And is there confidence, as you say, you know, in the consumer market? I'm glad that you allude to inflation, because I do see the latest figures say it sits at, what, 23.6% on average for the first quarter of this year, but it has touched levels of 53%+ just last year. But in terms of trust and just coming back to consumers, yes, inflation is one metric, but how do Zimbabweans feel when they go to a store and, you know, need to use the ZIG? Does a lot more education need to happen in terms of building the confidence there?
Yeah, definitely. But when you look at the structure of our economy, we are now a highly informal economy. Mm-hmm. And the informal economy is a cash-based economy, but it's also a USD cash-based economy. So most transactions are taking place using the US dollar. So, there has been a slight improvement, in my view, in terms of consumer confidence. It's by the beginning of this year. But I think the challenge is to sustain the low inflationary environment as a way of entrenching greater consumer and even investor confidence in the Zimbabwean economy.
Definitely. To close off with, growth expectations, Prof?
Yeah, this year we're expecting a rebound, because we've just had a very successful rainfall season, agricultural season. Oh, so last year, our economy grew by 2%. Mm-hmm. So this year, we're projecting around 6%. Agricultural production is going to increase, but that will also positively affect the rest of the economy. And the electricity situation has also slightly improved. So I think this year is going to be much better than last year.
100%. Well, we look forward to it. Tatenda, Professor Chitambara. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me. It's always a pleasure.
Thank you so much, sir. That's Professor Prosper Chitambara, independent economist, joining us this evening to talk to us about how Zimbabwe as an economy has been responding to the tariffs that have been imposed by the US. 18% is what Donald Trump slapped on Zimbabwe. And Zimbabwe has said, you know what? We value the relationship that we have with the US. So we are actually going to remove and suspend all tariffs that are levied on goods originating from the US making its way to Zimbabwe. As you've heard, trade elasticity is the thing at play here. Given that Zimbabwe is a small economy open to the global dynamics, it's decided to ensure that it maintains positive relationships with the US. So not retaliating with additional tariffs, but saying, that's fine. will reduce the tariffs coming in from goods from the U.S. And as a result, we will follow suit with the goods that we are able to export to the U.S. Also, not to be an economy to be scoffed at, if you consider the fact that lithium, very important for the new batteries in technology items, in electric vehicles, is largely mined in a market like Zimbabwe. Tobacco, copper, many other mineral resources. Platinum, too, is actually one of the leading commodities that come out of a market like Zimbabwe. So all really critical to the level of global trade. So these are all dynamics that we're going to pay attention to. And keen to hear your thoughts as well, and understanding that is also available in terms of what it is that we're looking to respond to as a continent. In a moment, we're going to give you feedback on Lesotho. It's also an important economy that in itself has actually gotten smacked with tariffs. And of course, we do see a level of response there. When we come back from the ad break, then we'll talk about South Africa and building up on the agricultural space. But let's talk Lesotho. Let's take a listen to this clip that gives us some perspective around why Donald Trump is actually targeting Lesotho with higher tariffs. This particular clip is taken from DW News.
The tiny African nation of Lesotho has been hit by one of the highest of Trump's tariffs at a whopping 50%. Just a few weeks ago, in his State of the Union address, U.S. President Donald Trump had this to say about the country.
The African nation of Lesotho, which nobody has ever heard of.
So why has the country that nobody's ever heard of become a target? According to the Trump administration, Lesotho has been charging almost 100% tariffs on products imported from the U.S. But Lesotho says that's not true.
It's not based on facts on the ground. We are not levying 99% of products that are coming from the U.S. It's not a fact.
According to the Lesotho government, 12,000 jobs in the textile sector, a key economic driver, are directly linked to the U.S. market.
We have in total about 11 factories that are supplying the American market. And those companies in total, they employ more than 12,000 people.
These jobs account for 42% of the country's entire textile industry. Mining is another important sector. In 2022, Lesotho exported $104 million worth of diamonds to the U.S. That's why Lesotho is planning to send a delegation to Washington in May to try and secure better trading terms. But it won't stop there. Shelile says the country is going to use pre-existing relationships with other African nations like the Southern African Customs Union and the African Continental Free Trade Area to try and fill the gap left by the U.S.
That was a report broadcast on DW, Deutsche Welle, essentially a European broadcast network. And that report was compiled by our former colleague here, Diane Hawker, giving us some perspective on the economy of Lesotho. Textiles is something we need to be mindful of, and of course the impact there. So share your thoughts. Maybe you're someone who also resides, travels, works, has investments, or might be from our neighboring countries. Share your thoughts just in terms of the competitiveness, the tariffs, and how it is that we need to be mindful of the influence and impact of Donald Trump and his tariffs on local economies. South Africa doesn't operate in isolation, y'all. We need to remember that our neighboring countries also play a critical role. And we're doing our best to make sure that we all have a better understanding.
If you missed it live, catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.